John chapter 1. John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, it says, starting at verse 26, says, John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Now this morning I want to talk to you about a subject that a lot of people aren't aware of. Some are, but it's a subject of Baptist distinctives. Now, you may be asking, what in the world are Baptist distinctives? Well, what it is, it's a set of beliefs that that makes us Baptist. In other words, it's what makes us distinctly Baptist by the things that we believe. In other words, being a Baptist is not a denomination, it is a set of beliefs. Now, as many of you know, Baptists were never part of the Roman Catholic Church. Therefore, Baptists are not Protestants. We never protested the Baptist Church. I mean, well, we did, but it was the entire time from the early church all the way through. But we were never part of the Reformation that took place within the Catholic Church that produced the churches such as the Lutherans, the Presbyterians, the Episcopalians, the Methodists, the Holiness churches. We were never part of that. So where did the Baptists come from? Well, they did not come from John the Baptist. Even though we read this passage here talking about how John came baptizing and the purpose of his baptizing was to manifest Christ to Israel, our roots do not go back to John the Baptist. Outside of the fact that John the Baptist did immerse people in water for baptism, fully immerse people in water. In other words, he didn't sprinkle people, but he immersed people into water for baptism. And if you look at that alone, then yes, that's what we do too, okay? Because that's the only form of baptism in the Bible that's acceptable, okay? But as far as John the Baptist, we do not have our roots going back to him as Baptists today. The baptism that John baptized with is not the same baptism that we baptize with today. John's baptism had nothing to do with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ had not happened yet when John was baptizing. So John's baptism was to manifest Christ to Israel, to anyone who would repent, be baptized, and get down in that water. That's reading he said right there in verse 31. He says, I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, am I come baptizing with water. Now, that is the purpose of John's baptism. But that's not the purpose of water baptism today. John the Baptist is not the same baptism as what we baptize today. Today, when we baptize somebody, we're showing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we baptize them, when I put you down in the water and I say buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection, we're showing what he did for us, and we're also showing what happened to us when we were saved because we were baptized into his death. And so it is an ordinance of the church, and certainly it shows, it's a picture of what Jesus Christ did for us and what happened to us the moment we were saved. But that's not the reason John the Baptist baptized people. He baptized people so that they would know that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Not only that, but John the Baptist was an Old Testament saint. Remember this, in the Old Testament, it was about the blood of bulls and goats and that was used to cover the sins of the people. In the New Testament, it's not about the blood of bulls and goats anymore. It's about the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away all sin. So there's no way that a New Testament Baptist church could possibly have its roots going back to John the Baptist. A lot of people say, well, John the Baptist was in the New Testament. No, the New Testament doesn't start until the death of the testator, okay? And so you got to keep that straight. You know, the New Testament did not start until Jesus Christ died on that cross when he said it is finished and he gave up the ghost. At that moment, then the New Testament started. But before that, the New Testament had not started yet. And so Baptists do not have their roots going back to John the Baptist. But the Baptists today do have their roots going back to the early church. And what I mean by that is that Baptists came from the line of the Waldenses and Albigenses and the Anabaptists, who originally came out of Europe where Paul had his three missionary journeys. Now, the Roman Catholic Church and Roman Catholic literature will dispute this because they want everyone to think that the Catholic Church is the true church. But from around 100 AD, the Catholic Church continued to persecute those who stood against it, and those who stood against the Roman Catholic Church from the very beginning were the ancestors of the Baptists today. In other words, what I'm trying to say is if you look back at our history, long before the Reformation, the Roman Catholic Church was persecuting and putting to death many of the people who did not agree with them, and put together people that believed the Bible and believed the Word of God and would not follow the Roman Catholic Church tradition, and they put those people to death. Those were the ancestors of the Baptist today. And when you read about there in Revelation chapter 17, it talks about the great whore of Babylon, and it says that her cup is filled with the blood of the saints, and most of the blood of the saints. There has been more blood of the saints spilled by the Catholic Church than any other. And so that was the early Baptists, long before the Reformation ever started. Now, that is a very condensed, basic history of the Baptist. But although history, always throughout history, there have been many Baptists, and some Baptists were well known. And then there were some Baptists that were not well known. In fact, some of them weren't even known at all. Today, there are Baptist preachers all over this country, and nobody's ever heard of. Some of the better known Baptists that were throughout history are people like John Bunyan, a 17th century preacher and writer, writer of Pilgrim's Progress. William Carey, a missionary to India. J.M. Carroll, pastor of the Trail of Blood. Oswald Chambers, W.A. Criswell, John Gill, Billy Graham, Mordecai Ham, J. Frank Norris, Charles Spurgeon. All these men were well-known Baptist preachers. Now, there were also some people who were not very well-known, like the preacher by the name of John Gano. John Gano, if you didn't already know, and most people don't, but John Gano was a Baptist minister and a Revolutionary War chaplain who baptized General George Washington. Although General George Washington was baptized in the Anglican Church by sprinkling as an infant on April 5th, 1732, Washington asked Gano to baptize him by immersion at Valley Forge during the Revolutionary War. So during the harsh winter at Valley Forge in 1778, George Washington asked John Gano to immerse him in the icy water of the nearby Schuylkill River. Most people have never even heard of John Gano, but he was a person who was not well known, but he was of note. Now, there were people that were famous that were Baptists. There were people who had in the past who aren't that famous who were Baptists. But there were some Baptists, believe it or not, that are infamous. I'll give you an example. Fred Phelps, pastor of Westboro Baptist Church there in Topeka, Kansas. You know that guy. That's the guy who used to have his people come and protest at when people would have graveside services or funerals, they would come and protest. So he's an infamous Baptist. Elijah Craig, the inventor of bourbon whiskey, he was a Baptist. I mean, like I said, infamous. I mean, these people. You know, I'm not proud to be associated with these people, okay? Jesse James, American outlaw, he also was a Baptist. And, of course, you also have Slick Willie and you have Al Gore and people like that as well. So not all Baptists have been godly men. Now, there are some people today that will say, you know, I'm not a Baptist, I'm a Christian. Now, I understand what they're saying. And they're saying that it's more important to be called a Christian than it is to be called a Baptist. And because the word Christian means follower of Christ. Now, I agree with that. I do agree with that. If the term Christian meant the same thing that the current term Christian meant when they were called that back in Antioch. But the term Christian today does not necessarily mean the same thing as the term Christian during the time of the early church. Back in those days, if you were called a Christian, people knew exactly what you believed. But is that true today? No. Do you realize today that Catholics are considered Christian. Mormons are considered Christian. People that believe all kinds of goofy things are considered Christians today. And many of them don't even preach the same gospel that saves. Now, folks, listen. You can't be a Christian according to the biblical definition of Christian and teach a different gospel than that which Paul preached. You can't do that. And so therefore, there are people today that call themselves Christians that are not Christians at all by the biblical definition of it. Now, when it comes to what a Baptist believes, there's absolutely no doubt that the general beliefs of Baptists today, when it comes to the great doctrines of the Bible, more closely match the beliefs of the churches that Paul wrote to than any other church on this earth today. Which makes sense because, after all, the only believers who have their predecessors going back to the early church that Paul started are the Baptists today. So basically, we are Baptists because of what we believe. We are Baptists by conviction. Now, there are some that take this thing too far about being Baptist. You know how it is. What people do, sometimes they'll take something and they go too far to the left with it, or they go too far to the right with it, and rather just taking for what it is, and certainly that's the devil just, you know, taking something that's good and perverting it. But there are people today that take it too far. For example, people today, there are some people today who teach that the Baptists are the bride of Christ and all other Christians are just friend of the bride. Listen, folks, there is nothing in that Bible that's the only person that was ever said to be a friend of any of the bride or the groom was John the Baptist, and he was friend of the bridegroom. Okay, to come up with this thing saying, well, you know, only Baptists are the bride of Christ, and everybody else, all the other believers who aren't Baptists, and they're just friends of the bride, that's the most unscriptural thing I've ever heard in my life. I mean, there's no scriptural evidence for that. And so that's just nonsense. But then again, just as there are people that take it too far one way, there are people that take it too far the other way. There are some today who claim that they're Baptist, but they don't hold the beliefs that are distinctly Baptist. In other words, listen, folks, there are certain things, certain great doctrines of the Bible that Baptists in general believe. And if you don't believe those great doctrines of the Bible, you can call yourself Baptist all you want to, but you're not Baptist because you don't hold those distinctives. It's the same way in the Old Testament, or in the back in the early church in the New Testament. And you know, a person could have called themselves Christian then, but that doesn't mean truly that they're a Christian. Today, if somebody calls themselves a Baptist, but that doesn't truly mean that they're a Baptist. They must have the beliefs that make us distinctly Baptist. And so, what makes us Baptists is our beliefs. And that's the reason why I feel today that we must tell people that we are a Baptist church. It's being honest with people. It's declaring what you believe publicly so people pretty much know what you believe before they walk into the door. And that's the reason I'm never going to remove the name Baptist and call it something else just to get people in the door. You know, to me personally, if a Christian is looking for a church, and he's driving by, if that Christian knows anything about Baptist, when he sees that Baptist name, he knows pretty much what we believe. Now, if I take that name off of there, and let's just take the name Baptist over there, it's almost like I'm removing what we believe just to get them in the door and then pop it on them, you know, that we believe this or we believe that. And I don't know that that's honest. I want people to know up front what we believe, and I'm... You know, and hey, listen, if you think you believe the truth today, which I know we do, I mean, I can, every one of those great doctrines I can show you in the Bible, wouldn't you want people to know that? Wouldn't you want people to know that you believe the truth? And so that's the reason why I believe that it's a right to keep the name Baptist on your church. And because we want to make sure that people understand that we have those beliefs that makes us distinctly Baptist. Now, what are those beliefs that are distinctly Baptist? Well, actually, there is one belief that is almost exclusively Baptist, and that is the belief of eternal security. Of all the denominations in Christianity today, Baptists are generally the only ones across the board who believe that once a person is saved, he cannot become unsaved. Now, if the Bible teaches eternal security for the believer, and it does, and other denominations of Christians do not believe that once a person is saved, he is always saved, Then what does that mean? It means that either he does not believe his Bible, that he does not read his Bible, that he does not understand his Bible, or the Bible is not his final authority. What I want to do this morning, I want to show you some other beliefs that are distinctly Baptist, also known as Baptist distinctives. Now, the best way of doing this, when you're at home this morning and you're taking notes, which I hope that you are, but I want you to write, if you write down B-A-P-T-I-S-T, Baptist, and if you start at the top, you have a B there, the Baptist distinctives can actually be shown in those letters. And so these Baptist distinctives. Now, again, these are the distinctives that make us Baptist by belief. And you say, so what is the first one that starts with the B there for Baptist that makes us distinctly Baptist? Well, it is biblical authority. Biblical authority, meaning that it is primarily a Baptist belief that the Bible is the final authority in all matters of belief and practice. That is primarily a Baptist belief. You say, do you mean to tell me, Pastor, that today there are other denominations who have other things as their final authority other than the Bible? Yes. Yes, in fact, all of them do. But the Baptist, if you ask a Baptist today, a true Baptist will tell you today that the Bible is his final authority, okay? Meaning primarily that a Baptist believes that the Bible is a final authority in everything that we do, everything that we believe. You see, in many other denominations, their belief comes from other men or other women, and it's those men and women that determine their version of truth. In other words, they're directed to believe what they're told is fact and what is not fact by either the head man or the head woman of that religion or whoever started that religion in the past. I'll give you some names. People like Thomas and Alexander Campbell. They're the ones in the holiness movement. They're the ones who come up with this thing saying that you got to be baptized and be saved. One of them even said one time that you just got to be baptized, period. Do you understand the Holiness Church came out of the Catholic Church? Where do you think that they get that you have to be baptized or a baptism has something to do with your salvation? You see, they never gave that thing up. So you have Thomas and Alexander Campbell. Those two are the final authority for most of your Holiness churches. You have Wesley. You have both Wesley brothers. They're the final authority for the Wesleyan Church and the Methodist Church. If Ellen G. White, William Miller, Joseph Smith, the Pope, and so on, those are the ones that are the final authority for those denominations, for those people that are calling themselves Christians. Those are the final authority, not the Bible. But the Baptists generally believe the Bible itself to be the final authority because the Baptists believe that the Bible is inspired by God and therefore bears the absolute authority of God himself. 2 Timothy 3:16 is what we base that on as Baptists. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's pretty clear. I mean, it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know what that means? That means that if it's scripture, then it's God-breathed. If it's scripture, God gave that scripture. It's his words. Now, what you got to understand here is when you look back in your Bible, the Bible says, holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And what that's talking about is this. When holy men spake, what they spake were actually the words of God because they were moved by the Holy Ghost to speak those things. And so those words are inspired of God. But then once somebody decided to write those words down, those words then, the words that they spoke that were the actual words of God, the second those things were written down, that's what we call scripture today. And that's the reason your Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so whatever the Bible affirms, Baptists generally accept that to be the truth. Also, generally, Baptists believe that no human opinion or decree or any church group can override the Bible. Even creeds and confession of faith, which attempt to articulate the theology of Scripture, do not carry the Scripture's authority. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard from us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in faith, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe." Now, listen to what that's saying. Now, that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2:13. But what that's saying is this, is Paul said, listen, when we came to you and we were preaching to you, you understood that it wasn't our words that we were given to you. Those were God's words that we were given to you. And when we gave you God's word, you understood that. You knew that it wasn't coming from us. And so today, when we read our Bible, we need to understand the same thing that those people that heard Paul understood. That when you read your Bible, these words are not man's words. These are God's words. And by the way, and it says, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And what does that mean? That means that as long as you're reading your Bible and your preacher is preaching the word of God to you, then that word, the words of God, is going to do a work within you. It's going to have its impact on the inside of you. It's going to help you be conformed to the image of Christ. It's going to help you mature. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so when you hear the words of God, or you read the words of God, it's going to be doing a work inside the Christian. If you're not saved here today, it's doing a work inside of you, because the Holy Spirit is using those words to reprove this world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So it's the words of God that does the work within somebody. It's not somebody's opinion that does the work within anybody. I mean, if I got up here today and I started preaching, started reading the morning paper to you and telling you all the horrible things that's going on in the world, and certainly there are some things going on in the world today, but that's not going to do you any good. My opinion is not going to do you any good. My convictions that I have, if I teach those to you, that's not going to do you any good. Why? Because those are the words of men. But may I tell you this morning that the word of God will do a great work within you. And the Bible is a divine revelation given to us of God to men, and it's a complete infallible guide and standard of authority in all matters of religion and morals. And whatever it teaches is to be believed, and whatever it commands is to be obeyed, and whatever it commends is to be accepted as both right and useful, and whatever it condemns is to be avoided as both being wrong and hurtful. But what it neither commends nor teaches is not to be imposed on the conscience as a religious obligation. What do you mean by that? Well, I mean that there are people today that say the Bible says something when the Bible doesn't say it. There are people today that have convictions about things, and they try to push that upon other people and saying that their conviction is biblical. Hey, listen, if it's not in the Bible, if you can't do it by faith, don't do it. I mean, we all understand that. But if it's not in the Bible, don't sit there and tell somebody that it is in the Bible just because you have a conviction over it. What's in the Bible, what the Bible says, is what the Bible says. And so far too many people today use the Bible to try to enforce their own convictions. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for," and here's what it's profitable for. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Why? Because it's doing that work within you. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's been said that the Bible is the constitution of Christianity, the charter of the Christian church, the only authoritative code of ecclesiastical law, and the warrant and justification of all Christian institutions. In it alone is life and immorality brought to light, the way of escape from wrath revealed, and all things necessary to salvation made plain to a lost world. I believe that's true. Now, because we're living in a Laodicean age where Christians are generally lukewarm, and man is waxing worse and worse, and the Bible says that it'll continue this way until the Lord comes back, don't ever let somebody tell you that your Bible is not inspired of God. Don't ever let somebody shake your faith in those words that you have before you. The words in that Bible are truth, folks, are absolute truth. You can bank everything you have on every word in that Bible. Even Jesus himself told you in John chapter 17, verse 17, he says, he is praying to the Lord, he is praying to God, and he's praying to the Father, and he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know, thy word, that's what Paul preached to those people, the words of God, not the word of men. You know, the scripture, which is given by inspiration of God. Those words are truth, it says there. Thy word is truth. And because the word of God is truth, that means the word of man is suspect. Hey, listen, if that Bible tells you, if Jesus Christ himself told you that thy words are truth, then what in the world are we doing listening to some man tell us what he thinks truth is? You know what that Bible says in Romans 3:4? That Bible says in Romans 3:4, let God be true and every man a liar. It doesn't matter what man teaches. It doesn't matter what man declares to be truth. What does matter is what the Bible says, because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Have you ever wondered why it's so hard to convince people in other denominations that the things that they believe are wrong? Haven't you ever wondered that whenever you break out the Bible and you take the Bible right there before them and you show them right there to what they believe is wrong when it comes to salvation, what they believe is wrong when it comes to eternal security, what they believe is wrong when it comes to the virgin birth and all the great doctrines of the Bible, when you show it to them, have you ever noticed that they really don't care what that Bible says? They don't. Hey, if you don't believe it, go out there and witness to some of them. You know what they're going to say? The second you pin them down, what they're going to say is, well, I understand what you're saying there. I can see what it says there. But that right there really doesn't mean what you think it means. You know why? Because some other man has told them something different that means. And that man or that woman or that pope or whoever it is, that's their final authority. That's their final authority. It's not the Bible. You see, they have a teaching from men that they hold higher than the teaching of that Bible when it comes to authority. And even if you show them that the scriptures declare them to be in error in their beliefs, they'll just say, well, I just don't believe that means what you think it means. Now, I will say this. Sadly, many Baptists today are starting to go down that same road. They're starting to disregard what the scriptures clearly say when it comes to a particular doctrine, and choosing instead to believe what some man or some preacher that they hold up high, or even in some cases, what some Bible college teaches when it comes to that subject, rather than what the actual words of God say. And here's what they'll do. Here's what they'll do as Baptists. What they'll do is they will use the Greek language, which they're not fluent in, which is a dead language, which they don't even have the actual manuscript. They'll use that Greek to try to change what that Bible says, but the whole time they're sitting there saying, I believe the Word of God to be the absolute perfect Word of God. Listen, folks, if you honestly believe your Bible is the perfect Word of God, you don't get to change any words in that thing. You don't get to change it. But what people have done, they're saying, well, this person here taught it, so it must be true. That's no different than what the Catholics think. Well, this person said it, you know, this has to be true. That's no different than the Campbellites think. What does the Bible say? That's your final authority on what's truth and isn't. The Bible is absolutely trustworthy, and it is the final authority, and it is to be the basis for all our beliefs and doctrines. Now, I'm just going to tell you this morning that if you are out there and you say, I believe my Bible, what it says is absolutely the Word of God, and I'm gonna believe every word it says. I'm just going to tell you, that's me. That's me. I mean, I tell you, I don't understand everything in it, folks. I don't. And in fact, I know I never will. The more I learn, the more I find out I don't know anything. You know that? If you've been studying your Bible, you know what I'm talking about. Nobody has a monopoly on the Bible. But I will tell you this, whether you know, I like it or not, every single word, every little jot and tittle in that Bible is exactly the word, the jot, and the tittles it's supposed to be. It's exactly God's word as he says it. And you got to believe exactly what it says, not what you think it teaches. I had a preacher, I heard a preacher years ago, a preacher that was very dear to me. I heard him say, he said this, he said, "I'm not interested in what you think the Bible teaches. I'm interested in what the Bible actually says." Those are true words, folks. Those are true words. Because listen, we can make that Bible teach anything that we want it to teach. You don't believe that? Don't you remember when Satan decided he was going to try to tempt the Lord in the wilderness? You do realize that he used Scripture, right? I mean, he used Scripture, but he used it out of context to try to teach something that wasn't true. That's what he did. And whenever somebody does that today, boy, that puts you in pretty bad company, doesn't it? I mean, when you say, "Well, I understand the Bible doesn't say that, but I feel like it teaches that," that puts you in pretty bad company there. Now, we're supposed to go by what the Bible says. What does it say? And that's what we are to base our truth on. Now, that's where I'm at on it. That's how I feel about it. And I will tell you this, that if you're one of those today, say, "You know what, Pastor, I agree with that. I believe that every single word is absolutely the word of God and it's absolute truth." Okay. You know what that makes you? That makes you, well, let's see, that'd be B-A-P-T-I-S-T. Well, I'm not really sure what the percentage would be, 1 out of 7, but you're definitely on your way to being a Baptist in your beliefs, if you believe that Bible's true. Now, I'm not saying that all Baptists believe that that Bible's true. I know Baptists today that try to correct the thing. But it's been a general belief of Baptists, and only Baptists, in the past, generally. It's been their belief in the past that the Bible is the final authority. In other words, we don't have a man or a woman or a creed or a constitution or anything else that tells us something that we hold higher in authority than the Word of God. So, number one, B, Bible authority. That is the first one when it comes to the Baptist distinctives, of what makes us distinctly Baptist. Now, we're going to be doing the rest of them, the rest of the six in the weeks to come. I'm hoping that by the time we get done with this series, we'll all be back here inside the auditorium. I pray, because I'll tell you this, folks, this is one empty sanctuary right now. But I'm praying that by the time that we get to the rest of them, that we'll have a full house in here and we'll be back to having fellowship with each other. And so continue to pray for each other. And what we're going to do is we're going to cover the rest of them in the weeks to come. So make sure you tune in for Sunday school and that. And I may even break out the whiteboard on you so we can actually draw it out. But until that time, just continue to pray for each other, pray for our church, pray for our community, that this thing will pass. We'll just go ahead and pass on through. And we'll be having a worship service here in about 10 minutes, so stick around. All right, let's pray.